right, good morning. We're going to conclude our series today entitled Shaken. And we've been asking the Lord to shake us up. And we recognize that only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can really shake us up. And our ability to change or our ability to accomplish anything, we come to a place finally where we realize, man, we really need God's help. And so during this series, we've been asking for the Lord to shake us up individually, to shake us up as a church, and to shake up our community and our world, because we want God to move. And our theme verse for this series is found in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And it says this in Acts 4, 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And so we believe the same God that launched the church 2,000 years ago is the same God today, and that He still wants to shake the place up. And but I see a kind of a rhythm to this. I see a sequence, don't you? If you look at that passage, you see that it began with something. It began with prayer. Now, have you ever noticed that when you get in trouble, you say, well, I guess I ought to pray? Or when you've tried everything, you know, I've tried this. The only thing left to me is to pray. You ever think like that? Or you almost apologetically tell somebody, well, I'll pray for you. Which it's kind of like, that's all I got left, you know. But for the first century church, it was their first move. It was the first thing that came to their mind, because they believed they couldn't do it anyway. See, they were so weak that they thought the only thing they could do was ask for the Lord to move. And a lot of us, we're too filled with ourselves to recognize that we should start with prayer. And so that was the first movement, if you will, that they got unified in prayer, and they prayed. They said, God, move. And so you see that they begin to pray for people's needs. And I don't know if you have a lost friend, or you have a loved one. Maybe it's a teenager. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your spouse. I don't know. But there's someone that needs to know the Lord. And you've tried everything. But what about this? Pray that God would meet their needs. And then as you do, look for God's presence. Because what He'll probably do is use you to meet their needs. He'll give you the ability to do it. But so pray and then watch. This is kind of an adventure if you think about it. So you pray for people and then you say, God, what are you doing? And then we watch for it. And then the third kind of rhythm to that is that you join God's work. You see God at work and then you join Him there. You don't go against it, you go with it. And then finally, when you see Him at work, then is when you share the gospel story. You listen for that opportunity, not forcing it. So that's what we've been talking about. If you missed some of these messages over the past 4 weeks, then you can go to our website. You can watch them, or you can listen to them. You can go to iTunes and you can follow it or whatever. But catch up. But today we're concluding just talking about what it means to join the story. And so we're going to be in the book of John chapter 4 today. And this is one of my favorite stories. I'm telling you, I love this story. It's John chapter 4 where Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. Don't you love that story? And it lays, you know, John's such a great storyteller. He goes from John 3 where he's talking to Nick at night, right? He's got Nicodemus at night in John chapter 3. And he kind of roughs old Nicodemus up a little bit, you know, because Nicodemus is a know-it-all. But then this lady at the well, he's so gentle with her. You know, John chapter 4, he's just so sweet and so gentle with her. But instead of reading the whole story, because we really don't have time to read the whole story, I'm just going to kind of go to the end of the story and drill down. So let's look at John chapter 4. We're going to start verse 28. And I want you to notice how this woman, this, if you will, the least likely woman in this city, is the one that Jesus reaches and then sends back to the city to reach that city for Christ. I mean, like the least likely person. You'll see what I'm talking about. Watch this, verse 28 of chapter 4. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages, even now. He harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And we continue in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And we ask God to bless the reading of his word. Amen? Amen. And so, looking at this story, I want you to look at 3 ways that we can share the gospel story. And here's the first. Here's the first way that we can share the gospel story. You can go and tell. You can go and tell. Look at verse 28. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people. Notice what happens. I mean, this lady, you know, Jesus didn't send her off to seminary. He didn't send her to a weekend evangelism class. He didn't take, you know, she didn't have to go through the 10 steps of Christian maturity. You know, here's what happened. He told her about himself at the well. He told her about herself. Because, see, that's what's going on here. When we share the gospel story with someone, we need to hear their story first. We often just want to, you know, walk up and vomit on people. You know, let me tell you what God's doing in my life, or just a blah, 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 you know, instead of hearing them first. But if you want to be a storyteller, you have to let them talk too, and you have to hear their story. Because here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that God's already at work in their lives. You think you're the first one to tell them about the Lord? Let me tell you, from the time of their birth, the Holy Spirit's been reaching out to that person. You're not the first one that went to work in their life. All you're doing is joining the Father's work. You're coming along now and just saying, where's God already at work? And so this woman at the well, she doesn't get any special training. She doesn't go through any classes. Here's all she knows. Wow. And she, look, why did she go to the well? Check this out. Why did she go to the well? To get water, right? What did she leave at the well? Leaving her bucket. She left her bucket of water at the well and went running back to the city of Sychar. She goes running back. This is amazing. She went back. That's what Jesus wants you to do. When you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and He saves you and you become convinced that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, when you come to that conviction, the first commissioning He gives you, before you know anything except God saved you. I mean, you don't need to know anything else except He saved you. First commissioning is to go back to your hometown. The Greek word for household or home is oikos. Oikos. He calls you back. He calls us back to our oikos. That's your sphere of influence. That's where you have credibility or not, but they know you. And you'll have credibility when they see your changed life. He sends us back first. This woman, He didn't have to say anything to her. When she realized who He was, she took off running. She left her water bucket at the well, and she went running back to the city. Let me tell you about this woman. And let me just describe this woman to you. This woman was probably a prostitute. At the very least, she was a woman of ill repute. She goes out to get water in the middle of the day. Now, none of the women did that. See, in those days, getting water was women's work. And they did it early in the morning before the sun got too high in the sky, so there wasn't that much heat. And they would go together, just talking the whole way. It was women's work, and this is what they did. And they went early in the morning, or they went late in the evening, right as the sun was setting. But not this woman. She went alone. And she went in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. Why? She just couldn't face them again. That way they would avert their eyes and talk when she walked by. She was one of those women. She'd messed up a lot in life. In fact, when Jesus talked to her, He was so gentle with her. No one ever talked to her. If they did, it was a man asking her for something. But this man asked her for something gentle. He said to her, He's sitting there on the well when she walks up. He says, give me something to drink. Jesus, You know, the Son of God asked this sinner woman, this Samaritan. A Samaritan, by the way, was a half-breed, half-Jewish, and they had intermarried with the Assyrians. The Jews hated them. They called them half-breed dogs. Jews wouldn't even go through their land, much less talk to one of them. But Jesus says, "Give me something to drink." And the woman looks at him, and she's thinking, "Why is this Jewish man even talking to me?" You know. And as she pulls the bucket up and she sticks a dipper in and hands it to him, he takes a drink. He says, "You know, you could have asked me for something to drink, and I would have given you water, living water that never runs out. Your thirst would be quenched forever. Would you like some of this water?" And she says to him, this kind of gives you an attitude. This lady, she's been through it. She's got a little bit of a sarcastic bite to her. She goes, "You don't even have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw water with. Where are you going to get this water from?" But she's intrigued. You see, Jesus started where she was, at the well, talking about the water. This is what he's teaching us. Be gentle enough to start where your friend is. Be gentle enough to start where your teenager is. If you want to have a conversation, listen, if you're a parent and you want to have a conversation with your 16-year-old, you have to be able to sit up late. I figured that out early on. They don't speak during the daytime. Most 16-year-olds are vampires. They don't speak till after midnight. My kids would come home from school. I'd say, "How was your day?" It was okay. How are you doing?" "Fine." What'd you learn at school?" "Nothing." "How you doing? What's going on right now?" "Boring." I mean, just these one-word answers, and they wouldn't even make eye contact for those. And then if you sat up late enough at night, though, somebody would come back down the steps at about midnight and say, "Daddy," usually my daughter would say that, "Daddy, can I talk to you about something?" That's when he'd be like, "Oh, no, this is me time. This is my me time." You know. But no, okay. "What is it, honey? What is it?" And, you know, there's something about people that we want them to hear our story on our timing, when we want to, how we want to tell it. But the Lord met the woman at the well on her timing, the way she needed to hear it, starting the conversation where she needed it to begin. Such gentleness from the God of the universe. So this is why she goes running from the well to go and tell her hometown. These were people she wouldn't even talk to except at night, and then only to the men that she advertised to. Jesus said to her, "Go and get your husband, and we'll have a conversation." And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You tell him the truth, because the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Neither is the previous four or five that you've been living with. They weren't your husbands either." And she goes, "I can perceive now that you're a prophet." Wow, she was blown away. This Jesus really knew her. And he talked to her about... See, this is so cool. When he's talking to Nicodemus the Pharisee in chapter 3, he was really strong with this guy because he was such an intellectual. And he says, "You claim to be a rabbi and you don't even understand this simple thing about being born again." I mean, he was strong with Nicodemus. But with this woman, he says to her, she says, "Well, we're looking for the Messiah, the one who is to come." And he says to her, "I who am speaking to you am he." He gives this prostitute, this nobody, this person that nobody would even walk to the well with, the fullest, most complete revelation of himself in the book of John. Wow. He must love us in the depth of our sin. He must love us in spite of us. He didn't say, you know, "Get your life cleaned up, learn some, you know, like at least memorize John 3:16. I just wrote it in the previous chapter. Check it out. You know, learn some stuff and then go back to your city. You know, get your life straight first." He didn't say that thing. He didn't say anything to her, really. I mean, he just says, "I'm the Christ." And she was gone. Go and tell. Go and tell. And where do you start? You start at your hometown. Let me give you a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 28. This is Jesus speaking to us. He says, "Therefore, go." Circle the word "go." There's a place to go. It starts at your hometown. It starts at your house. It starts in your neighborhood, your place of work. It starts at your cubicle, your classroom, with your roommate at school. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And so he commissions us to go. And he gives us a strategic order of priority. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. And he says this to them. He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so if you were looking at a map, the disciples were in Jerusalem when Jesus was talking to them. He said, you're going to tell the story about what I've done for you here. And then you're going to tell them in Judea. And then you're going to tell them in Samaria. And then you're going to tell them to the ends of the world. And so there's this place you start. You start with your oikos. You start in your city. What's our city? Our city is Wilson. But even start smaller than that. Start at your address. And you start telling. If it's a new journey for you, tell your wife. Something happened to me. Tell your husband. Tell your children. Tell your parents. Start there. Yeah, but what if they ask me a hard question? Well, listen to this lady when she gets there. She says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She's not an expert. Here's what she's saying. Check it out. I don't know all the answers, but he's changed my life. Amen. There's a humility to this. We're not trying to argue people. We're not trying to show them how smart we are. We're trying to show them how smart Jesus is. Amen. Go and tell. Yesterday we did some go and tell. Yesterday we went to 800 households, four different neighborhoods, and we picked up groceries. We dropped off bags a week ago, and we picked up groceries and we blessed the Hope Station. We blew their socks off. Mr. Boykin, the director of the Hope Station, he said, you've got more coming? And when we first started putting the stuff in, he goes, just put it in the corner right there, because he was expecting, you know, it would fit in the corner. And after the corner was full and it started taking up the whole room, he goes, maybe put some down the hallway. And then, I mean, we filled this place up with groceries. We had a blast yesterday. But every house we went to, we prayed and we stuck these little cards. Did you see those cards in your seats? I hope there were still some there when you came in. If you didn't, get some cards. Get them as you leave. They're at the table. The ushers have a whole bunch of them in a box. At least get three, but get like as many as you can. This is just going to make it easy for you to invite somebody to church. Because you see, that's the second step that the Samaritan woman followed. She did a go and tell step, and then she did a come and see step. You see that? Invite them to come and see. That's the second way that we tell the gospel story. Invite them to come and see. Look at verse 29 in the text. It says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then verse 30 says, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. And so we're just like, these are like seeds, you know. We just gave you these little tools. We've been praying over them. And we stuck these in 800 household doors. But we bought 2,500 of them, so that's why you need to take a handful. So we don't waste these seeds. Let's get them out there, you know. Let's get them out there. Grab some. Hit every house in your neighborhood. Give some to anybody you know. And it just makes it easy. Say, come and see. Come and see this. You know? That's what she did. Do you see there? Come see a man. And we're not saying come see a preacher. Because that's no good. Right? We're not saying come hear the music. Because it's not about the performance. It's not about come see the fancy building. Because we don't have one. We rent a school. It's about come see a man named Jesus. We're praying and preparing our hearts for him to show up. And if he shows up, he'll fill up the difference of what we lack. And we lack a lot. Come see. And so this is just a little tool to help you do that. You know, so you can kind of break through that barrier. And it's got some stuff on there. Please grab a handful of these and then pray before you go out. And just talk and start at your oikos. Start at home. Say, come and see. You know, come and see. John chapter 1, we see this story of how others use this come and see strategy. One of the first to use it was the disciple named Philip. He went and talked to his friend Nathanael. Here's how that goes. Philip went off to look for Nathanael, and Nathanael told him, we have found the very person. I got the names out of order there, by the way. It was actually Philip doing the talking. Family went off to look for Nathanael, and Nathanael told him. Okay, Nathanael did the talking. Gary, get it right. We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from there? Just come and see for yourself, said Philip. Now, catch it, you know, check this out. Nathanael tried to pick an argument, didn't he? He was like, listen, there's no prophet coming from Nazareth. And really, the Messiah was, according to the Old Testament prophecies, was supposed to come from Bethlehem. And even a fisherman or a blue-collar worker like Nathanael knew that. He said, wait. What do you mean he's coming from Nazareth? See, he didn't know the whole story. He didn't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and then and fled to Egypt and then ended up coming back to Nazareth. He didn't know the whole story. He goes, can anything good come from Nazareth? And so Philip could have tried to explain to him. Now, time out. Let me go through the scriptures with you here and explain to him. But that's not what Philip does. Philip, get this. He doesn't get into an argument about Nathanael, about this with Nathanael. He just says, just come and see. Give it a try, like that. He didn't get bogged down in a theological messianic fulfillment prophecy. You know, he said, come and see this. Check this out. And so, like, you'll be out talking to somebody and you'll say, hey, why don't you come to WCC next weekend? You know, we got this whole Saturday that we're giving away everything. You know, bring your kids to our Easter egg extravaganza. And we got clowns, pony rides, fire trucks, free hot dogs, it's just like going to be amazing. It's Wilson's largest egg hunt come next week. We think it's the largest. We're not sure, but we're claiming it's the largest egg hunt. We didn't get Guinness involved, but we're saying it is, right? And you know what they might say to you? They might say, WCC, isn't that church that meets at a school? Don't get bogged down in that. Don't get defensive and go, yeah, but we're great. You know, don't worry about that. Don't get, yeah, but you know, no, we're not a cult. No, don't get all bogged down. Just say, come and see. Come check it out. Like that. And so I think this is good. We get argumentative with people instead of building a bridge of trust that'll bear the weight of truth. Let's make a friend. You know, come and see. Check it out. We're so good at this everywhere else except for when it comes to what we believe most about. Come and see. Psalm 66:5 says, come and see what God has done, how awesome His works in man's behalf. Come and see. We're doing our best to have a come and see ministry here at WCC, especially on Sunday mornings. This is a come and see event. We want you to feel like you can trust us enough to bring your friend. They might say something like, but I don't have any church clothes. And you just look at them and say, you're wearing them right now. That's why we dress down a little bit. Just kind of dress casual. You know why? It's not for the people who've been saved for 30 years. Because you're trained in the... You can go to church formal because you've got the clothes. You've got the whole closet. Listen, I still have that. You go to my house, I can loan you... I bet you I got 100 neckties. I got the door open, and you ask my kids, I can open my door to my closet. I got one of them fancy things on the back of my door. I got neckties. I could wear a different necktie every Sunday for the next 5 years and not repeat. I got a lot of neckties. I don't know what to do with them. I only use them now. If you see me wearing a necktie, you know I'm doing one of these two things. Weddings and funerals. I might wear one next week just to freak you out. I don't know. It's Easter Sunday. Why don't I use those neckties? I've got an investment in my neckties. It's not because of my comfort. It's because I'm trying to have a come and see ministry so you can bring your friend that doesn't own a necktie. So that's why we have screens and contemporary music. And that's why we try to do things in a certain kind of way. Not for the comfort of long-time Christians, but so we can meet the woman at the well. That's what we're trying to do. It's a come and see ministry. Check it out. That's what we're trying to do. Does that make sense? And so you might say, well, I wish we'd do more of this kind of music or that. But you know what? We're trying to reach your friend. We're not trying to reach you. You've already been reached by the Lord. You already know Him. We're trying to reach someone who doesn't know Him yet. We're trying to go to Samaria, to the city of Sychar, and reach the people that haven't heard. I like that little spot where the disciples, it's like, meanwhile, like he's over here with the woman at the well. Meanwhile, you know where the disciples were while he was talking to the woman at the well? He had sent them into the city to get food. And I bet all 12 of them went together like, all right, don't make eye contact with anybody. Just because they're going into this city of Sukkar and they are all Jewish men and they don't like each other. And so like Judas is like guarding his money. And it's like they had to pay double to get the food because they were Jews, you know. And so they go in there to get the food. It took them a long time. The whole time Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, they come back and they see the woman. And she runs off and leaves her bucket and heads back to the city. And they're like, what's that about? They start getting the food out. They're getting it ready. They say to Jesus, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You sent us all the way into the city to get that food. I mean, what's the deal? You know, what's going on here? And he says, I have food that you know not of. And they did he eat while we were gone? We got a lot of trouble. We risked our lives. And he had something to eat. Did he bring some food and we didn't even know about it? And they said, come on, get something to eat. And he goes, my food is to do the will of the Father. And it's just like that right there. See, meanwhile, that's that backdrop that's going on this whole time. You know, so come and see this man. Come and see this man. That's a beautiful story. I love this story. Okay, so the first step is go and tell. The second step is come and see. And then here's the third. Hear and believe. Because that's what that meanwhile is all about. Meanwhile, Jesus is saying, he's teaching these disciples something. You don't know who that woman was I was talking to? You thought we came to this city to get groceries. You thought we were here for groceries. We weren't. We were here for that woman. I'm so guilty of this. Maybe some of you can relate. If I go to Walmart, which is rare, first of all, out in the parking lot, I go, and then I'm going in, man. Some of you love Walmart. I don't. And I worked in retail for 12 years before I answered a call to be a pastor, and so that was enough. I go in, and I'm there on a mission. And it's not to talk to somebody. It's not to wait in line. It's to get the thing that my wife told me to buy. And then I'm out of there. I'm not buying extra. I'm not looking. I'm going straight to the aisle. Boop, 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 boop. Looking for the shortest line. I'm out of there. You know anybody like me? Just pray for them if you do. If you know somebody like that, pray for them. And the disciples were like that. They thought they were there to eat lunch. They didn't even want to be there. We're passing through. We're headed north. Jesus said, take a break here. Why? I don't know. Okay, let's at least eat, since he said let's eat. And did you see how long they stayed there? Did you notice that? How long? 2 more days. Why? Because those people came out of the city that woman went and got. They came out of the city and they started talking to Jesus. And when they heard him speak, when they saw the look on his face when he told stories, when they were the recipients of his touch, they said, would you stay here with us? You can stay at my house. No, 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 no. Stay at my house. No, don't listen to her. Stay at my house. And he stayed 2 days. He was supposed to be passing through. I get stuck at Walmart sometimes like that too, except I complain about it. Sometimes God's appointments are actually interruptions on the way somewhere else. There's a woman, there's a man you're supposed to tell the story to that are there, and they will hear and believe if you'll just tell them the story. So here's the thing that Jesus tells the disciples. While the woman's away, he catches them up. They thought they were there for food, and he says, look, I've got food you don't even know about. My food is to do the will of the Father. Look at that field. And he points at the city, and they go, what? What is he talking about? See how it's ripe unto harvest? See that? And he's looking at the people. He's looking into that city, and he's thinking many of them are getting ready to believe. They're getting ready to believe right now. And the disciples are like, what? He goes, it's ripe. He had this sense of expectation that people, if they would just hear the story, they would believe. You have friends that are living in a lifestyle that you think, it would take a miracle. It would just take a miracle for them to follow Jesus. What took a miracle for you to follow Jesus? Amen. It takes a miracle every time. But Jesus looks at them. He doesn't see what you see. He sees that he loves them and that it's a ripe situation for them to hear. He says if they could just hear, they'd believe. If someone would just tell them. That's what Paul says in the book of Romans. Look at this. Romans chapter 10, he says, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scriptures mean that is what the Scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? Yet faith comes from listening to this message of good news, the good news about Christ. Here's what I want you to get. I want you to get out of this verse. Here's the thing. They're ready to believe if you just tell them. Instead of talking to your friend and say, you wouldn't want to come to church next Sunday at Easter, would you? You wouldn't want to follow Jesus, would you? Now, Jesus says, look, they're ready. God's already at work in their lives. You might think they're half-breed pagans, that they're on the other end of nowhere, on the edge of going to spend eternity distant from God. But I look at them and I see people that I love that are already ready to come into the kingdom. All they need, the only missing point for them to come into belief is to hear. And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Yeah, but I don't want to offend anybody. Well, how's it offensive to tell your story about how Jesus saved you? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That's an open-handed invitation for a conversation. Now tell me your story. Hey, I see Jesus in your story too. Let's talk about that. I think He's already at work in your life. You begin to talk about it like that. Because you believe if they hear, they'll believe. You have a sense of expectation about it. Yeah, like that, you know? First Peter gives us the attitude that is supposed to be behind this presentation. It says, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. So that when you go to Walmart, you go there for the Lord, not just for the grocery list. When you go to put gas in your car, it's like, you're looking around. Okay, what else am I supposed to be doing right now? Because I know this gas in the car thing, that's just temporary stuff. But there's eternal stuff going on all around me all the time. That takes the Spirit just to keep you aware of that, you know. Set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. It's like a Boy Scout motto or something. I mean, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. People are going to ask you about your life. Be prepared to tell them that it's Jesus in you. And when you do it, always do it with gentleness and respect. Like Jesus was with this woman. And guess what happens when you do that? Guess what happens? Look at this, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. Before they even saw Jesus, they started believing. Because of the woman. They'd never seen her like this before. This sarcastic, rough-edged woman comes in with a smile on her face. And she's got her head covering down around. And she's talking to women that she hasn't talked to in years. And she says, you've got to come see this man. You've got to come see him. And the changed life spoke to them, and many of them believed before they even encountered Jesus. And then you go on to verse 42, it says, after they heard Him talk, they begged Him to stay. And He took a break and stayed there with them, because He always does. He stayed there a couple of days with them and taught them. And then in verse 42, they says, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we believe because we've heard for ourselves, and now we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen. They start by believing your story, and then they encounter the living Jesus, and He changes their story. Wow. What an adventure God's invited us to be involved in. He wants to shake our world. He wants to envelop us into His story, because the story of what's going on in the universe, He's the author, and we are characters. And He's saying, come, be part of the story. And the star of the story is His Son, Jesus. And when you encounter Him, you'll want to be part of His story too. So how do we pray? Look at what Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 48. It says, much is required from those to whom much is given. You've been given the story. And what's your job? Go and tell the story. Tell people to come and see. Invite them to hear and believe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm glad you talked to the woman at the well. I must confess to you, Lord, that I probably would not have talked to her. I'd have been busy. But you're changing me. You're softening my heart. You're making me aware of those around me, even when I'm busy. Lord, keep opening my eyes. Help me to see where you're at work. Maybe it's the waitress at the restaurant, the attendant at the gas station, the checkout clerk at Walmart. I don't know. Maybe it's someone in my family. Maybe it's my next door neighbor. Maybe it's someone I don't like. Maybe it's my boss. I'm praying right now that you would open the eyes of the hearts of the people in this room right now, that they would see the faces and they would say to themselves, the Lord's at work in these lives. I need to now go tell them the story. I feel the Lord calling me to do it. And there should be no fear because the Lord will do it. My part's just to tell the story. Lord, give me the words to say. And there might be someone here today who just needs to say yes to the story that Jesus offers them eternal salvation. How do you do that? You just pray. You say, Lord Jesus, thanks for dying on the cross for me and from being raised from the dead and being alive today. Come and live in me. Forgive me my sin and make me the kind of person you want me to be. If you pray that prayer, Jesus said, I will come in and I'll live with you and I'll take up residence in your life. Lord, we lift these things up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.